Good morning, everyone. Well, I haven't exactly been living under a rock for the last week. I was up in the mountains.
Well, that wouldn't really be a vacation if you lived under a rock.
But you'd have to be living under a rock to have missed the emotional conflict in Lower Manhattan over the issue of this Islamic center.
No, it's an international story.
It's an international story, but, you know, it's a head-scratcher for me because, I mean, you know, we are a nation of laws, right?
Yeah.
We're also a nation of principles.
Absolutely.
Principles that
the laws are supposed to be based on those principles, right?
One of the settled principles is that there is religious tolerance in the United States. You can put up a church anywhere.
Right, you can't use prejudices.
The government doesn't intervene in that sort of way.
Exactly.
But that's not the case. If you listen to the protesters at Ground Zero saying that there shouldn't be an Islamic center
anywhere
nearby. Well,
the government hasn't intervened yet. I mean, they got their permits. I mean...
Right. I mean, it's supposedly going to happen, but there is a political dispute over the question of whether this should be there or not, whether Ground Zero is hallowed ground, whether Muslims are suffering a matter of intolerance in this entire political
dispute. Right. If we have Islamophobia, it's a word that a lot of people are using.
Is the principle settled, or are we seeing political opportunism on the parts of individuals setting up for the 2010
election? Political opportunism?
Hey, now you're
That's
the cynical
crazy.
One. Listen to you. Or is this how principles get unsettled? In democracies, where suddenly there's a political dispute and all of a sudden it's a reset of the table on something that we thought was settled. Joining us now is Mariam Ashraf, 24-year-old graduate student getting a master's in Middle Eastern and South Asian studies. Good morning, Mariam.
Good morning.
And Abed Bouyan, who's a 24-year-old, also spent the past 2 years at a New York City public school teaching, going to Turkey to teach English on a Fulbright scholarship in a few weeks. Good morning, Abed.
Good morning.
Now, both of you are practicing Muslims?
Yep.
All right. Now, you know, there is a principle at stake here. I guess my question, aside from your impressions of what's going on here in Lower Manhattan regarding this whole controversy, Mariam, let me begin with you. What would you do personally, besides come on this radio show, to fight for the principle you think is at stake here?
Well, I guess... Initially, I wasn't paying that much attention because I was trying to stay out of it, and I was trying to more focus on, this is the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, I really wanted, that only comes once a year, I really wanted to focus on that, but now that I see all of this stuff going around, I haven't been all that vocal about what I was thinking because I would hope that this principle was firmly in place. I didn't think that I needed to fight for anything.
And you support the building of the Cordoba Center in Lower Manhattan?
I mean, initially I didn't think that I was supposed to have an opinion on it. I didn't think that it was my Islamic center. I'm not from New York. But now that everyone is being brought into the debate, yes, I do think that it should be there.
Abed, let me do a thought experiment with you. If this was happening in, say, a rural area in Colorado where there was a similar dispute at some city council meeting, would you care?
Absolutely. And the issue here is that it is happening across the country. I mean, there's Islamic centers trying to be constructed throughout the nation that is, you know, in the face of Islamophobia now. So while this issue in New York is local, the Ground Zero Mosque or the alleged Ground Zero Mosque, Islamophobia is nationwide, and it's something I absolutely care about.
So what are you going to do about it?
Well, I think one thing that Muslims can do and Americans are doing is speak out against Islamophobia and acknowledge it for what it is. You know, in this day and age, racism, sexism, homophobia, anti-Semitism, these are all acknowledged as unacceptable and un-American. And for whatever reason, Islamophobia is in vogue right now in society. And I think we need to really come out strongly and forcefully against this.
But Abed Bouyan, I'm not an Islamophobe. I had family members die at Ground Zero. I, you know, watched the news coverage afterwards. I know where Osama bin Laden is coming from. I would just feel more comfortable if this had nothing to do with the Lower Manhattan. Now, that's not my story, but that's the story that you're hearing. I'm not an Islamophobe. It's just hurting me personally.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and I think that's a sentiment that, you know, ought to be acknowledged. I also think that there's no single sensitivity in this whole issue.
Wait a second.
Right.
How do you acknowledge that sentiment and preserve the principle? Mariam, you hear what I'm asking here?
Okay.
How do you acknowledge that sentiment of, like, I'm mad, I feel personally aggrieved if I lost family members at Ground Zero, but still preserve the religious tolerance principle?
Is this for Mariam or for me?
I asked Mariam, but either one.
Well, I think the most important point here is that there needs to be a distinction between who were the criminals of September 11th. I mean, these were not American Muslims that attacked the Twin Towers, that attacked the Pentagon, and that killed 3,000 Americans. I mean, American Muslims have been in this country for a long time, and we have spoken out forcefully against September 11th. So I think that the Islamophobia, the particular Islamophobia that I'm speaking about, is rooted in this kind of notion of collective guilt and punishment that I or that my family or other Muslims in New York City are not sufficiently sorry for a crime that we didn't commit. I mean, a crime of which I was a target as much as the next guy.
Mariam, what do you think about that? How do you acknowledge the sentiment of people at Ground Zero but still preserve some religious tolerance principle?
I agree with the fact that I agree with what Abed was saying, is that we all acknowledge what happened on September 11th, but we don't want to have some type of collective guilt by saying, you know, we as American Muslims have to speak out against it as if we were held responsible for it. All Americans spoke out against September 11th and what happened, and we did as well. But we were expected to do more so than the average American, which I feel like, you know, wasn't exactly fair. And I'm not trying to say what's fair and what's not fair, but,
well,
you know.
It sounds, Abed, it almost sounds like you're saying that if they agreed to move this as center, it would be almost admitting that there was a connection between September 11th and all Muslims.
I absolutely think that. I think that, you know, those who are encouraging a so-called compromise, this is no such compromise. I mean, this is absolutely, I mean, if the protests, I was there Saturday night at Park 51 praying, and the notion that this should move, it's basically kicking Muslims out from where they are already worshiping. I mean, this isn't kind of moving a site that hasn't already been established. It's not a theory. This is going to be an active removal of Muslims from a site where they are praying. And I think it will definitely be kind of, it will definitely play as Muslims are attached to September 11th, that American society at large does not have this distinction between American Muslims and those Muslims who perpetrated the crimes.
Abed Bouyan, who's a New York City public school teacher on his way to Turkey to teach English on a Fulbright scholarship. It's more than manners. It's a bigger principle than simply manners and a sense of acknowledging a sense of being aggrieved. Mariam Ashraf is a 24-year-old graduate student getting a master's in Middle Eastern and South Asian studies. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.